The scripture reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 6. So we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God is negotiating with you through us. We beg you as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. God caused the one who didn't know sin to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. Since we work together with him, we are also begging you not to receive the grace of God in vain. He says, I listened to you at the right time and I helped you on the day of salvation. Look, now is the right time. Look, now is the day of salvation. We don't give anyone any reason to be offended about anything so that our ministry won't be criticized. Instead, we commend ourselves as ministers of God in every way. We did this with our great endurance through problems, disasters, and stressful situations. We went through beatings, imprisonments, and riots. We experienced hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. We displayed purity, knowledge, patience, and generosity. We served with the Holy Spirit, genuine love, telling the truth, and God's power. We carry the weapons of righteousness in our right hand and our left hand. We are treated with honor and dishonor and with verbal abuse and good evaluation. We were seen as both fake and real, as unknown and well-known, as dying, and look, we are alive. We were seen as punished but not killed, as going through pain but always happy, as poor but making many rich, and as having nothing but owning everything. The word of the Lord. Take a moment now for silent reflection.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for this space to create on this chilly, wet evening, to encounter you, to be reminded of the goodness of who you are and the gift of the time that we have yet to have with the rest of our lives. And so as we ready our hearts for the journey of Lent, I ask that you would clear the things that clutter our hearts and our minds so that we might be fully present in this moment to what it is that you might say to us through me. Speak through me because of me, but also in spite of me for the sake of your work in each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just about every few days in the last couple of months, I'm reminded that this is an election year. If it's not a flyer tucked into my door, it's a voter's guide in my mailbox. If it's not an email from a national candidate, Barack Obama just texted me earlier today, then it's theories about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce being deep plants of the deep state. It's only February, and I'm already exhausted. And it's not that I don't care. It's not that I don't think these conversations are important. But I mean, I'm weary. We've been down this road before. And I don't know about you, but I'm not sure if I have the stomach for the vitriol, the cynical strategies, the divisiveness that is sure to lie ahead. So I guess maybe I'm sort of pre-weary. When you're tired, drained, and feel like you're at the end of your own resources, well, me, that's actually a pretty good state of mind for a day like today, a day that is set aside for you to remember the ways in which your existence is fragile and life can sometimes disappoint. And no, I'm not talking about Valentine's Day. We need a shot in the arm of some kind, something to give us perspective and draw us back to the ground of our being. And so I find it a strange kind of comfort to read in our passage today that the Apostle Paul is here calling this community of believers back from the edge of rupturing. He's not quite a lover begging them to take him back, as much as he is trying to draw them out from being so consumed by the pain of the world, by the pain that they are inflicting on one another, that they have lost sight of who they are, of whose they are. He tells them, now is the time when we find out what we're really made of. Now is the time when we find out what the grace of God is really capable of. When we've drained the well of our own competencies, when we're not even grasping for straws because actually there are no more straws left to grasp, when all we can do is take a deep breath and give ourselves over to the one who gave himself over to us, this is when we find out what God's grace is really capable of. Because it is at the limits of who we are where we find that God begins. There's a very frustrating kind of math to this, but it's math worth paying attention to. Because it's in these moments and seasons when we've exhausted all of our arguments, when we don't have much fight left in us, when we have come to realize that for however airtight our logic might be, it is no remedy for our loneliness, our longing for connection, our need to be loved. And it's this place, which can sometimes feel like a pile of defeat and ashes, it's this place when something new can grow. I learned recently that ashes can serve as a good fertilizer, actually. Wood ash contains things like calcium, magnesium, and potassium. Too much ash can have detrimental effects, but when it's applied at the right intervals and amounts, ashes can help plants take in water better and have greater strength. Ashes can also help prevent soil from growing too acidic, which is to say that it helps to neutralize the conditions in which a plant is growing so that the soil doesn't end up sucking nutrients out of it. Instead of trying to defend himself or blame folks, Paul is inviting the community to raise the pH levels of their soil, to lift their gaze and take a minute to take stock. They've been through some stuff. He reminds them, we've been through beatings, imprisonments, and riots, ashes. We've experienced hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, ashes. We've been through some stuff. And we've been through some stuff as a community. Shifting spiritual landscapes, staffing transitions, faith deconstruction, broken relationships, job loss, illness, and too many people moving. Ashes. All this in a world where there are plenty of fires burning, from Gaza to the Congo, Yemen to Ukraine, from red states and blue states, Tenderloin to Tech. We are firefighting for our lives, our communities, our futures. We are beating back flames and wondering when the ash will stop raining down on our heads. We've come to the edge of ourselves, which, if the God math is to be trusted, is not the worst place to end up. Ash Wednesday is the day when we are reminded that at the end of us is where God begins. We are marked by ashes and reminded that from dust we came and to dust we will return. And while that may be an uncomfortable thought for some of us, after all, so much of our culture thrives on the denial of death, it's worth remembering that after all, God can do quite a bit with dust. God can create whole worlds from just a handful of the stuff. And so as we consider the enormity of the world's problems, as we can consider our finitude, let us also remember that giving ourselves over to that truth is less an act of defeat than it is a statement of faith. That God can do something even from the likes of you, me, us. Beginning this Sunday and over the next weeks throughout Lent, we will take on practices as a community, practices that are designed to help us live into our faith and collective life with greater clarity. One of these will be a brunch church worship service. Together in this space, we'll share a meal and practice theological hospitality as we engage our diverse lenses and we wonder with compassion. To learn more about who God is as we learn more about what it means to be in relationship with one another.
Through this and other practices, we'll work together against a broader culture that tries to alienate us from one another by cultivating deeper connections. Together, we will take these ashes and turn them into a seedbed for new life. Paul reminds the community that even in the midst of ashes, new life was emerging. He tells them, we've displayed purity, knowledge, patience, and generosity. We've served in partnership with the Holy Spirit with genuine love and with honesty, with power. We've been accused of being fake and real, known and unknown, dying, but also somehow through it all, we remain fully alive. Ashes may be the result of hardship, loss, and grief, but ashes can also create the conditions for new life to grow. And so embedded in the knowledge of our limitations is a message of liberation. That while we one day will die, today we are free to live. So let's take those ashes and live. Cultivate life here in this community and over the next weeks and more broadly in our city. Be a mouthpiece of grace because we need more of it. Let yourself be a partner with the Holy Spirit, with genuine love, with honesty, and with power. Being a peacemaker wherever you find yourself. Crash up against the edges of where you are and find out where God begins. Let yourself die and discover how alive you actually are. Lose it all and find out how much you possess. Let the mark of ashes draw you nearer to your origins and free you in the knowledge not only of where you've been, but also where you're going, from dust to dust to dust. Let it free you. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you make beautiful things out of dust and us. We thank you that what can sometimes feel like a pile of ashes can become a seedbed for new life. And so on this day, when we come up against the edges of who we are in our mortal lives, let us remember, too, that it is in that holy space where you begin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.